Now I see grace. Well, good morning, Grace Point Church. Good to see you all today. Glad you are here. Not quite as a cold, wet, messy place out there, but still a little chilly. And we're hoping it's going to be a warm time in here with each other and as we worship God. So we welcome you here to our church today. If you're our first-time guest or you haven't been here for a while, welcome. If you're one of our regulars, it's always good to see you again. So one of the things we do here is just give you a chance to say hello to each other. So would you stand up, please, turn to somebody in front of you, behind you, and say hello. Welcome to Grace Point. As we get started, I want to share a couple of verses with you. They relate directly to what we're going to be looking at today. And these come from the Apostle Paul out of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 9. Look what he says. Because of the extravagance of those revelations, and so I wouldn't get a big head, I was given the gift of a handicap to keep me in constant touch with my limitations. I don't know that I ever thought of a handicap I have as a gift, but Paul did. And he says, I did it, keeps me in touch with my limitations. Then he says, Satan's angel did his best to get me down. What he in fact did was push me to my knees. No danger then of walking around high and mighty. At first, I didn't think of it as a gift, and I begged God to remove it. Three times I did that. But then he told me, my grace is enough. It's all I need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness. Paul said, once I heard that, I was glad to let it happen. Paul asked God something. Paul the apostle asked God something, and God said, no. We're going to look at that today. Let's pray together. Father, teach us today things that we need to learn in our own lives, in the life of our church, things that we can share with others. And thank you, God, that you didn't have to tell Paul yes to everything he asked. And yet you still used him greatly and mightily. Bless our worship time, Father. We're here to worship you. We're here to thank you. We're here to bless you. If you bless us in return, we'll thank you for that. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't you love these folks up here who do this for us every week? We thank God for y'all. Give him a hand. Will you do that? Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Melanie, thank you. I keep trying to get in the band, but Jason just laughs. I don't know what it is. When I was about, I don't know, 10 years old, maybe 10, 12 years old, grew up in Baltimore, as many of you know, and me and my friends joined a bowling league. It wasn't the kind of bowling we do down here with the big balls, three fingers. We had duck pin bowling, small balls just like this, pins like this high. It was great. We loved it. Every Saturday morning, we would leave our house. We would walk from where we lived in Brooklyn Park down to Brooklyn, Maryland, where the bowling alley was. And it was pretty old. You had to open the door and walk up three flights of stairs, and it was on top. It was on the top floor. We loved it. Every once in a while, we'd get a little extra money from our parents, and we'd buy one of those hamburgers that tastes terrible. But it was a lot of fun. Well, Most of us all the time use the alley balls. I don't know what color they were, ugly color. They're all chipped up. You know how alley balls are. And so I asked my dad one time, can I get some my own, you know, balls? And he got it for me for Christmas or something. And I thought, I am in. They're going to look up to me now. So we go there. Everything's going great. One Saturday, we decided to walk up Federal Hill. Federal Hill in Baltimore is this big, huge hill, dirt filled in with grass. I think it's well known. And it was just huge. When we got to the top, we had this crazy idea. Wouldn't it be neat to take one of my bowling balls and bowl it down that hill? It was wonderful. So I'm up there ready to bowl down the hill. Two of the Goads, Raymond and Irvin Goad, lived across the street from me, were down at the bottom. It was their job to stop the ball. Not hard, right? I took that ball and I bam down the hill, and you could see boom, boom. It was flying down there. Well, apparently neither one of them knew how to stop the ball. It rolled past them, across the sidewalk, across the road, right in line with the water drainage right there. And wouldn't you know, those people who made that water drainage made it just a little bit higher than my bowling ball? Gone. Absolutely gone. Now, from the time I rolled that ball down the hill and started to realize they weren't going to stop it, I'm not even religious back then. I started praying to God because I knew what was going to happen. So God didn't answer my prayer. He said, if you were stupid enough to do that, you need to learn a lesson. God didn't answer my prayer. Not a problem. I just didn't tell my dad. I went to ball. He never knew. I went to ball with my bag and one bowling ball there. No big deal to me. I don't think he knows yet. God didn't answer that prayer. He said, Kevin, no, I'm not intervening. We're in a series of messages called Chatting with God. Today I want to talk about when God says no. Now, God wants to answer our prayers. Over 20 times in the New Testament, we're told to ask God, asking you will receive, anything you ask in my name will be given to you. And if you read some of those types of verses, it sounds like prayer is like an open credit line, that anything you ask for is yours. But the fact is that while God does answer every prayer, he doesn't always answer the way we want him to. As a matter of fact, in Jeremiah 33:3, look what God says. God says, call to me and I will answer you. But the reality is sometimes we don't hear God's answers and we feel like Job. Look at this next verse. In Job chapter 30, verse 20, he said, I call to you, O God, but you never answer. When I pray, you pay no attention. Have you ever felt like that? So what's the problem here? When Jesus said, ask anything in his name and it will be given to you, is that false advertising? Is God just teasing us? Again, the fact is God always answers prayer. He just doesn't do it always the way we want him to. Now, if you're out, you have your outlines, look with me. You can start filling in some of these blanks here. I want to talk, first of all, about three ways God answers prayer. Three ways that God answers prayer. Sometimes God says, yes. You got it. We like that answer. Can I? Yes. Will you? Yes. God, is it okay if? Yes. Could you work this out? Yes. Life is all good when we're getting those kinds of answers to our prayer. But sometimes God says, not yet, or wait. We don't usually like this one as much because most of us don't like to wait. But we need to remember that a delay is not a denial. It's simply not yet, in due time, soon, or not so soon, later. Sometimes God says yes, he says not yet, or wait, and then sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to give that to you. I'm not going to work that out. I'm not going to bail you out again. And the Bible is full of examples of where God said no to people. Abraham prayed that Ishmael would be his son of blessing, and God said no. King David had a young boy who was ill, and David asked him to heal his son, and God said no. we sometimes get into a mental theological dilemma. We say to ourselves, if God is loving and cares for me, and he has power to do anything he wants to do, then how come when I ask him to solve my problems, why does he say no? Think of it this way. If you're a parent, did you give your children everything they ask for when they ask for it in the way that they wanted it? Absolutely not. Did you not give them everything because you hate them? No, you didn't give them everything because you loved them. And it's the same for what God does for us. When God says no, he does so out of love for us. So let's look at sometimes why God says no. First of all, because he has a bigger perspective. He has a much larger perspective. He sees the whole picture, and we don't. He has a bigger viewpoint. He has wider vision. God can see the past. He sees the present. He can see into the future, and we can't. And this is one of the reasons sometimes he says no. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. He knows, God does, he knows about everyone, everywhere. Everything about us is bare and wide open to the all-seeing eyes of our living God. Nothing can be hidden from him. God can see what is hidden to us. We don't always know what the consequences of our choices will be, but God knows. If we could see life the way God sees it, we would have very few problems. If we could see the past, the present, and the future, we'd always know what the right thing to do, the right places to go, the right things to say, the right time to be there, the right time to do something. We would know ahead of time. It's kind of like the movie Groundhog Day. You remember that? Eventually, Bill Murray's character caught up with what was going to happen when, and then he could take care of all of it. But we don't live that way. We have a limited perspective. And when we put a prayer request before God, we set off a whole chain of events, the implications of which can affect even the next generation. But God knows all of that, and when he sees that in answering our prayers the way we want him to answer, it could have negative or bad implications for us and for others in the future. And so out of love, sometimes God says no. He sees the bigger picture. Look at this verse, Proverbs 2, verse 8. God, he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Sometimes God says no to protect us from unforeseen problems. We don't see them. We can't see around the bend. We can't see ahead. And God says, let me take care of that. I knew you want that job, but it's better that you don't have it. I know you want to get married soon, but it's just not going to work out. I know you wanted to win that, what was it, $2.3 billion lottery? God said, nope, not going to happen. Can you think of times in your life that you were glad God said no? Can you just turn around a little bit and look past in your history and say, man, that was something that God said no, and now I know why he did. Or even if I don't know why he did, I trust that he knew just a little bit more than I know. And I'm so glad that he said no. Because he sees the bigger picture. All of us can think of times that we knew God said no. If you've ever gone to a 15, 20, or 25-year high school reunion, I know you're grateful that God didn't answer all your prayers. Because that great big hunk of a guy you wanted to marry is now a big fat hunk of balding goo. And that babe you wanted to marry, she's not so babelicious anymore. It just didn't work out, and you're going, yes, thank you, God. Sometimes God has a bigger perspective. He can see ahead. Currently, he knows what went on behind. He's got a bigger perspective. Number two, God says no sometimes because he has a better plan. He has a better plan. And God wants to meet your request, but plans to do it in a way that we sometimes could not imagine. God, in his infinite wisdom, has better ideas about how to answer our prayers. Sometimes he says no because he's got a better plan ahead of us. Look at these verses out of Isaiah chapter 55. This plan of mine, God says, this plan of mine is not what you would work out. Neither are my thoughts the same as yours. For my ways are higher than your ways. Underline that word ways, plural. My ways are higher than your ways. God always has more than one way of doing things, folks. He has unlimited alternatives. He's never forced to do something just one way. For example, if you ask God to meet a financial need, he could do it in several ways. He could increase your income, decrease your expenses. He could make what you have last longer so you don't have to buy something new. He could give you a gift. And so sometimes you ask God in prayer to get this, and God says, wait a minute, I have a better plan. You need to trust me. And our problem sometimes is we not only tell God what we want, we also tell him how we want it packaged and when we want it delivered. Are any of you like that? I am. I mean, just in general in life, I want to know what's going to happen around the bend. I know when it's going to happen. I want to know the implications of it. I want to know how I get prepared for. Anybody else like that? Would you meet with me after the service? We'll plan on it right now. Personalities like this drive the rest of you nuts. In fairness, you guys drive us nuts. The most of the time, the way we want things is the easiest way, not necessarily the way that will cause us more personal growth, or that would be best for most everybody else around us, or that would bring God glory the best way. We just sometimes want the easy way. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verses 39 through 40. These were commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better. They were commended for their faith and yet got nothing what they asked for from God the way they wanted it. You remember Daniel, he was told to worship a foreign god and he wouldn't do it. And they said, we're going to throw you into a lion's den. And Daniel said, I'm not going to pray to a false god. I'm sure he then did pray to his God that God wouldn't let him get thrown into that den of lions. God said no. Daniel was thrown in. And God did answer Daniel's prayer, but in a better way. He kept the lions' mouths shut all day and all night, and Daniel was not harmed. God had a better way. Some of those people that did that to him woke up to God because God did it a different way. Many times we want the easier answer, but God has a better plan. So don't fear those times you're going through a trial. Maybe you've got some lion's dens to go through, but don't sweat it. God has a better plan for you. Al Pinero's dream was to go to Russia and share the good news with Jesus. He was ready to go, first mission trip. He's all set, everything's ready. But before he left, he found out he was stricken with cancer and he couldn't go. He don't understand why God worked that out the way it worked out, but he was trusting him. So instead of going to Russia, he started a recycling ministry, and all the money that came in from that recycling ministry was used to buy Bibles in Russian language so he could send over there and those Bibles could be used to learn about God and win people to Jesus. Al died, never made it to Russia once, but he sent 300,000 Bibles to Russia. One person, Al, could have gone and touched some 300,000 Bibles. Can you imagine? God had a different plan. You know about the Apostle Paul. He planned to go to Rome to preach the gospel there. He stated it several times. I think his plans were to go to the Colosseum and hold a Billy Graham-type crusade. But God had other plans. God instead let Paul go to prison. While there, he did a little bit of writing. We call it most of the New Testament. That wouldn't have happened otherwise. Not only that, the palace guard who was keeping an eye on Paul, the palace guard, the praetorian guard, those who guarded Paul 24 hours a day were the most elite class of people in Rome. They were Caesar's personal bodyguards, chosen by Caesar. They were well paid, and they worked 12 years and then went into retirement. I want that job. There was not a more prestigious group that Paul could witness to if he was going to win the Roman Empire to Christ. So God let Paul go to prison in Rome. He let Nero foot the bill and chained a different future leader of Rome to him every 4 hours. And if he were chained to a different guard each four-hour shift for 2 years, he had a chance to witness to 4,380 different, significant, influential guards. These palace guards had an inside route to the emperor because in Philippians 4:22, look what it says. All the saints send you greetings. Look, especially those who belong where? To Caesar's household. Even some of Nero's family were won to Christ, all because God had a better plan for Paul. And when things don't look like it, God has a better plan for us. Why does God sometimes say no? He has a bigger perspective, a better plan, and because he has a greater purpose. He has a greater purpose. Isaiah 46, verse 10, God says, "My purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please." Have you ever used that phrase? I'll do what I please. We probably should leave that to God. I'll do all that I please. God's purpose will stand. He's not obligated to explain everything that he does. He doesn't need to check in with us to get our approval to take action. Now, God doesn't cause everything in life to happen. People have a choice. We can disobey God. We can do things that are outside of his will. All of us have sinned. We're not perfect, so I'm guessing we still sin. But God will use everything in life for his overarching purpose. And if God is saying no to our prayers, if that fits in better with his overarching purpose for our lives, then he's going to say no. And God's purpose for every believer includes that we become more and more like Jesus. And sometimes to make us more and more like Jesus, sometimes God's got to say, no, not now, maybe not ever, maybe sometime later, no. Folks, let me ask you this. Did Jesus go through tough times? He absolutely did. And so will we. Look what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul says, therefore, we do not lose heart, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Some people ask, where was God when my child was suffering? The same place he was when his son was suffering. He was there. We may not sense his presence, but he's there. The night before Jesus prayed, the night before his crucifixion, Jesus prayed that if there was any way for God to take this crucifixion away from him, please do it. He was saying, God, please take this away. And God said, no. Why? Because Jesus' death served the greater purpose of saving humanity. God let his son die so everyone else might have a chance to live eternally in heaven. God had a greater purpose. So sometimes he says no because his purpose is better, it's greater, and we may not see it. There comes the rub. If God would just write his purpose down, email it, put it on Facebook, here's the purpose. No problem. But then we wouldn't have to trust him, right? God is always there. He has a greater purpose. And if we want to be happy in life, we need to understand that there are some things in life you're never going to understand. I still ask God questions about things that happened in my life 30 years ago. And sometimes I don't appreciate that he says, I'm not going to tell you again. In Deuteronomy 29:29, look what it says. There are some things the Lord our God has kept secret. People ask me sometimes, is it okay if I question God? My answer is absolutely. People question God all through the Bible. Question them all you want. But you need to make sure that if you ask them the question, you better be prepared not to live with the answer. Because he's not obligated to tell us everything all the time about the future or about the past. So what do we remember when God says no? A couple of things. Number one, everything God does is motivated by love. This is very important to remember. Psalm 25:10, all the ways, underline that, all the ways of the Lord are what? Loving. Whenever God says no to your prayer, Satan likes to step in and say, if God was really loving, if he really loved you, he wouldn't have said no. See, God doesn't love you. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't have the power to change anything. Or he does have the power to change everything, but he's not doing it for you at this point in time. When Satan says that, you need to remember, he is, among other things, a liar. Have you known somebody who's lied? I mean, they can't tell that. They just lie all the time. That's Satan. Satan never speaks truth. He twists it. Sometimes he just outright lies. And that's what he's going to tell you. The truth is that God loves you too much to say yes to all of your prayers, all of the time. He may be protecting you for some problem you don't know about, or he has a better idea, he has a greater purpose. All of God's ways are loving. Even when we're going through tough times, that doesn't mean God isn't loving. When he says no to you, it's from the same motivation that a loving parent sometimes says no to their children. Grandchildren, say yes all the time, but children, no. Romans 8:28, in everything God works for the good of those who love him. In everything, he works for good. Everything he does is motivated by love. Number two, God always gives grace when he says no. He always gives grace when he says no. Sometimes in life, things aren't going to change no matter how much we pray about them because God has a greater purpose. And Paul had to learn this. Paul had a handicap. He called it a thorn in his flesh. He prayed over and over and over that God would take this thorn away from him. Paul asked three times, and God said no. He had a greater purpose, and that greater purpose was to teach Paul about his grace. Matter of fact, look at it in 2 Corinthians 12:7-9. We looked at this verse earlier. I was given the gift of a handicap, Paul said. Satan's angel did his best to get me down. I begged God to remove it. Three times I did that, but God told me that my grace is enough for you. It's all you need. The grace Paul got, the grace we all need, is God's power to handle the situation. When we're weakest, that's when God's power can be made perfect through us. His grace will empower us to handle any situation we find ourselves in. So sometimes God won't answer your prayers, yes, but he will always give you enough grace to grow and to be used by him if we'll just let him. Now, I'm not just saying this like I haven't been through stuff like you've been through. Sometimes I was going through so much that I looked at these verses and laughed and said, somebody made a mistake here. But God was gracious. He was patient. Did we get more money? God was patient. He grows us little by little. And then one day you go, now I see. Now it makes sense. God's grace is sufficient. And that doesn't mean barely enough, like he's running out of grace for you. That means he has an overabundance of grace for you in every situation at any given moment. He will always give you exactly what you need. His grace is limitless. I'll give you a little quiz. How many gallons of water are in the ocean? Anybody know? 352 quintillion, 670 quadrillion. How many grains of sand are in the world? Anybody want to guess? And now you're like, no. Grains of sand in the world, 7 quintillion, 500 quadrillion. And by the way, I'm looking at my paper here. This is numbers, and then it's followed like by 20 zeros. How many of you want to guess how many stars are in the known universe? 70 sextillion. That's nuts. But did you know that God's grace is bigger than all those numbers put together? You could empty the oceans and the beaches of water and sand and pluck every star from the sky, and God's grace has just begun. Now, there are three ways we can respond when God says no to us. We can resist God's answer of no. We can say, if that's the kind of God you are, I want nothing to do with you. You can turn your back and walk away. Or you can resent it. You can fill your life with bitterness, or you can doubt God's love you for the rest of your life, always second-guessing, why? Or we can make our response to trust God. Even when everything inside of me says emotionally and experientially, I have reasons not to trust God, even then I'm going to trust God. And the fact is, that needs to be our response. And the fact is, that's sometimes the only response we have. Sometimes we can't change anything. So I'm going to trust God. Psalm 9, verse 10. Those who know the Lord do what? Trust him. He's in control. He loves you. He wants the best for you. And when you chat with God, trust him when he says no. Trust him when he says not yet. Trust him when he says later. Trust him when he doesn't say anything. Let's pray together. God, we want to thank you that in your love for us, when we ask you things, many times You give us things, whether it's exactly what we ask for, something different, whether it's in the time frame we wanted or it's another time frame. We thank you for that. And God, based on your word today, as you've taught us, we want to thank you that sometimes you say no. Because you have a greater plan, because you can see around the bend. Teach us during those times, Lord, to trust you. To trust your answer, to trust your timing, to trust that your grace will be sufficient for us to continue on in life. When you say no, trust us, or God, help us to trust you when you say no, to trust that this is not a mean answer. It's the best answer you can give us at that point in our lives for that time. Now, God, I pray that you will help us to take to heart and to mind and to practice and to our attitude and to our response to you. Whether you say yes or you say no or you say wait, we will trust you and love you and follow you the best we can, knowing that your grace is bigger than everything we talked about this morning. And we will live in your grace. We will trust in your grace. We will share your grace. We ask all these things to you, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. I tell you what, bow your heads. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to come here and worship you today. I pray as we leave here, you bless us with health today and throughout the week. And Lord, I pray that we're able to trust you, especially when you tell us no. Lord, we love you so much, and we ask all this in your name. Amen. We'll see you next week.
Oh. Evan wants us to just say a little something about the retreat that we had this weekend. I encourage all you ladies out there, if you have a family member, friend, neighbor who doesn't have a church home, the retreat is a really great way to just get them connected, to be refreshed, to be encouraged. So our topic was from Laura Story's story. Many of you know her song, Blessings. That was the theme song of the retreat. I encourage you to listen to that song. Because her book is When God Doesn't Fix It. And it's right in line with Kevin's message for today. I mean, it just reinforced everything Kevin said today. When God doesn't fix it, we still have to have our peace and our joy in the midst of our circumstances. And I personally, some of you know that my husband had a stroke on Christmas Eve, a serious stroke, and we just got the news yesterday that he probably will never walk again or drive again. And, you know, I can be here and listen to Kevin's message and say amen, that whatever he decides. And, you know, it's his plan, and he still can do miracles. But if not, we praise him in the midst of our circumstances. So I just really want to thank the ladies for gathering together. It's a great way to connect and to knit our hearts together and make new friends. So thank you.
Thank you, Catherine. Thank you very much. All right. Well, you guys have a great week. See you next Sunday.